my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts, so if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Holy crap, gang. Welcome to my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. I am your host, Kevin Huntsberger, your host for this portion of the podcast. Caveat here, I am in the car. I'm on my way home from Strideversary, the four-year anniversary of Stride Pro Wrestling. What an amazing night. I encourage you, if you are a fan of independent wrestling, if you are a fan of Stride Pro Wrestling, and we're not able to make it to Strideversary because, let's face it, let's be real, there were folks who are taking precautions because of the coronavirus. And as I record this Saturday night, we still don't know the fate of WrestleMania. We know that SmackDown was held at the Performance Center. We know that Monday Night Raw, if you're listening on this Monday, is moving also to the Performance Center. So there's a lot of speculation of what's going to happen. We at Stride Pro Wrestling met several times and chatted and talked with other professionals and, kind of looked to see what some other companies were doing for this weekend, because in Illinois, the governor has made a declaration that after March 17th, there will be no schools in session in Illinois for the next rest of the month. So it's crazy with the coronavirus, and everybody's talking about it. However, we decided the show must go on, four-year anniversary of Stride Pro Wrestling, and it was a fundraiser. We had an amazing crowd. I was so happy to see the number of folks who actually turned out, and I think if we weren't under the conditions of, worrying about the coronavirus, we would have had even more folks out here. But I'm proud of every person involved with Stride Pro Wrestling. Everyone who got in that ring had a match. It was an amazing night. Every single championship has changed hands. It was Mike Masters' last match. Mike Masters and I have, I think a lot of Mike. He and I go way back to the All-American Pro Wrestling days. He was my very first match, and I'll never be able to articulate it or say it enough. Mike Masters, that whole feud that we had leading up to it, it was done so well by Mike, and he was such a true professional. And then we get in there and we have the match, and he put me over and actually got hurt in the process. Jay Spade with the chair shot, it didn't go quite as planned, and he ended up getting 6 staples in his head. But it was Mike's retirement as well at Strideversary, and we didn't announce that beforehand, but what a great guy, what a great professional. And just knowing him and getting to get in there and wrestle him, and that first go around, it was so incredible. That first match meant the world, and I appreciate and respect him immensely. So thank you, Mike. I don't know that you're listening to this, but if anyone who knows Mike is listening to this, let him know my appreciation and gratitude. And I talked to him very briefly after his match, and expressed a little bit of this to him. But really a class act, a true guy that I absolutely loved being in the ring with, 100%. But Heath Hatton did, by the way, beat Mike for the Strive for a Wrestling Legacy title. Dexter, the artist formerly known as Dexter Roswell, is your new No Limits champion. We have new tag team champions in Jay Spade and that POS Dalton Anthony from the Podzilla 1985 group. I'm kidding, Dalton. I love you. And what I said to you earlier was inappropriate. And I apologize to you and Sadie because I shouldn't have said that. But it was fun seeing the look on your face after I said it. Anyway, inside jokes. I want to mention that Zoe Moore beat Kerry Gold for the Strive for a Wrestling Women's Championship. I'm going off of memory here, and that wrestling buzz is really coming through right now. My voice, actually, I don't think is very strong either because we streamed it live on Facebook. Luckily, we had a good internet connection, and I did commentary through the course of the night as well. I had a good time. And if you are a fan of wrestling, please go check out the live feed on the Stride page. And probably by now I have shared it on the My 123 Cents page as well. And give me some honest criticism, feedback, critiquing, if you will, of the commentary. Because I really honestly, truly believe the only way we get better at anything is to be, looked at with a critical eye, and I don't need it sugar-coated or candy-coated. I want to hear some honest feedback and opinions. So we had Riser winning the Stride Cup and the opportunity to cash in against the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion anytime over the course of the next year. I did mention, I believe I said, the wrestling buddies, Dalton Anthony and Jay Spade. They won the tag team titles tonight, so congratulations to those two guys. And then we also ended up with a new Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion in Red Daniels, beating Cash Borden and Axe Allward in a triple threat match, a great match. All the matches, really, honestly, truly, I thought were really good tonight. I keep saying tonight. Saturday night at Strideversary, it was such a fun event. The crowd was really hot and into stuff as well, even though it wasn't as big as some usual crowds at some of our other fundraisers, but we did raise some money, and that's the important part as well. Also should mention that Scott Phoenix won a five-man challenge and is the number one contender now to that No Limits title, so just a fun night. April 11th is the next Stride Pro Wrestling show, and it should be a great evening of more wrestling action, no doubt about that. And I want to express some gratitude and some thankfulness. Of course, Tyler Heath Hatton is the man behind Stride Pro Wrestling. All the guys, all the gals who get in there, help with the setup, help with the teardown. It's a family, it's a team effort, and everybody, you know, comes out, and it's so important and such a big part of my life now. And I'm so thankful 4 years ago that Tyler invited me to join this mission, to join this journey. I'm eternally grateful for that. Sam Hunter, Stride Pro Wrestling General Manager, Jim Kelton, does the music. Sam is the setup with everything, the audio and whatnot. And I just appreciate those guys so much, and I don't say it nearly enough. And I'm thankful to be a part of this. It really is, for a guy who's almost 47 years old. It's been an amazing opportunity to live this dream, this late in the game, so to speak. And I know being 47 is not necessarily old, but around these guys it is, because some of these guys are my kids' age. So it's fun, though. I'm having a great time, and I'm thankful and appreciative of those who support Stride Pro Wrestling and of those who support My 123 Cents. And I encourage you to check out all the podcasts here on Jittery Monkey. We're going to be talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin, by the way. Red Daniels, the new Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, and I are sharing some Broken Skull IPA, which is now available in Kentucky, which isn't too terribly far from Southern Illinois. So we talk all about that in this week's episode. But Jittery Monkey, thanks for supporting the shows here, Greg Mahochko and Mike Luther with Nerd United, Greg Mahochko's Five Heart podcast, and then Greg has the Greg and Chad's Power Half Hour with Chad Smart, who of course is over at the PCPN. Chad and I, and I've said it once here, I'll say it again publicly, we're going to be reviewing Wrestling Pro Wrestling very soon here on the podcast. I promise we'll be taking a look at a show, maybe turning it into a watch long. It's going to be a longer episode if we do that, over 2 hours. So I'm going to kind of gauge it and see, but we will be doing a wrestling pro wrestling show together. They're based out in California where Chad is currently living. So, you know, Podzilla 1985, I joke with those guys. They're good dudes and dudettes, and I just totally dated myself making those references, calling them dudes, but they're good people for sure. The Skullbuster Wrestlecast, as Chad calls it, the Andy Kaufman of pro wrestling podcasts. I think that's a good analogy for sure. So yeah, it's just a good time to be a wrestling fan, and even in the wake of all this with the coronavirus and the uncertainty and the politics and everything else, hopefully folks are going to tune in and listen to some wrestling podcasts and be entertained. I know, you know, I don't know. I'm rambling now. I'm going to wrap it up. But stay tuned. Red Daniels, we're drinking some Broken Skull IPA. And be sure to let me know what you'd like to hear and listen to here on the podcast and watch on the YouTube channel. Shop on prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents. If you are a Stride Pro Wrestling fan, you can pick up a Stride shirt there as well. But again, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I appreciate it. Have a great week and stick around for Wrestling Under the Influence. As promised, I am joined by Red Daniels of Stride Pro Wrestling. Once again, we are Wrestling Under the Influence. Dan, you've kind of become my go-to guy when it comes to these beer-inspired podcasts.
Well, you know, it's, you know, we've got logistics behind us. We both live in the same town, and it's always fun to talk about wrestling and enjoy some beer.
Now, we did a podcast several months ago now at this point. It was Stone IPA, where we talked about Stone Cold Steve Austin, because honestly, I never thought that Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA was going to be something that was going to hit distribution. And I lucked out. I was on Instagram probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Austin's page had tweeted or had posted about Broken Skull IPA hitting several markets. And the closest to us, I feel like Illinois always gets gypped on these things. The closest to us, though, is Kentucky, which Paducah is about an hour away. So I contacted Roof Brothers Wine and Spirits in Paducah and asked if they had it. They said they did not. However, they ordered this. And I don't know if they ordered it just because I messaged them. I would imagine this is going to sell very quickly. I will tell you this about this beer. I love the can, and we'll talk all about that in just a minute. But they come in four packs. It's a 16-ounce, a pint. It's a four-pack, so 64 ounces, $15. It's a little pricey, especially when you compare it to, you know, your traditional domestic beers. But for a craft beer, it's not terribly bad. But it is a 6.7 alcohol by volume. It is an IPA, and it is designed by Stone Cold Steve Austin and El Segundo Brewing Company, which is in Southern California. And I'll add the other caveat here, and then I'll shut up. I had this beer a few years ago. My buddy Tom Harness actually traveled to Southern California and actually picked up a bottle of it. So I'm curious, number one, how this tastes out of the can compared to the bottle. And I would also ultimately one day love to see this on tap at places around Southern Illinois. So hopefully eventually it'll end up in Illinois. But without any further ado, let's pop the tops, as Stone Cold would say. Or maybe do, not say.
I brought a glass if you want to pour it out just to kind of get a look at the color. And we've talked before, you're kind of venturing into the whole beer outside your typical comfort zone when it comes to beers. Do you like IPAs? Do you find them too hoppy? What are your thoughts traditionally?
They're growing on me. They're okay.
I'm the same way. I started off not liking IPAs, and they've grown on me. But this particular one, I think it was 3 years ago that we tried this, and it was not overly hoppy. And I'm looking on the can right now for the IBUs, which is the International Bitterness Unit, and I don't see the IBUs listed. So that may be something we have to look up later, but. It's El Segundo Brewing Company once again. And I love the can. I love the design. I love the look. And this is really a pretty clear beer. You know, it's not overly hazy. There's lots of carbonation here, bubbles popping. I really like the way it looks. The smell, it's kind of, you got the hoppiness and almost a... I feel like it's almost a citrusy kind of smell to it as well. Let's read the can real quick and see. Broken Skull Indian Pale Ale, a badass 6.7% IPA designed by Stone Cold Steve Austin, or actually just says Steve Austin, and El Segundo Brewing Company for the working man and woman. It features Citra, Cascade, and Chinook hops to deliver big flavor with an easy finish. Stop reading and start enjoying this awesome beer. Cheers. So let's do what the can says and enjoy this awesome beer.
Wow. That's really good.
You like it?
By far the best IPA I've ever had.
I was going to say, this, you know, at the time that I tried this, and I am reminded again, this is definitely... my favorite IPA. It's not, again, a lot of IPAs are overly hoppy, and I think the combination of the hops that they use for this, the Citra, the Cascade, and the Chinook, they come together very well. And, you know, as it says, it makes a big flavor with an easy finish, and it definitely is an easy finish. It doesn't give you that bitterness that you typically would get with an IPA.
Wow. I could definitely see me sitting down drinking a six-pack of these for sure.
Yeah. So the other interesting thing that I didn't really notice and realize until I actually started looking at the can and reading it, and the can design is really cool. It's kind of a barbed wire wrapped around, and it's got a broken skull, obviously, for the Broken Skull IPA, but it's Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA, not Stone Cold, which obviously... WWE, I guess, owns the intellectual property for the Stone Cold moniker. That would be my only assumption. And obviously right now the relationship there between WWE and Stone Cold is good. What are your thoughts? Because we talked a lot about our favorites with Stone Cold on the last episode where we recorded. But talk to me a little bit about post-wrestling Steve Austin. How are your thoughts on him as... You know, he's got a podcast. He does the Broken Skull Diaries on WWE Network, which I have found to be very fascinating so far.
I love his podcast. I used to listen to it a lot. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm at a point with wrestling podcasts where I've heard every backstage story,
yeah,
and everyone's opinion, so I'm kind of checked out on those. But I've never seen any of his movies, that part of his wrestling career. But
yeah.
I liked when he would do the podcast on the network, and I like the diaries that he's doing now. I've watched a couple of those. Those are pretty good.
Yeah, I've seen the Kane one, and I've seen the one with the Undertaker. Now,
was Taker first?
Taker was first. Goldberg was in there, and then Kane. Now, the buzz that I saw the other day, and I don't know if WWE confirmed it or not, but Bret Hart.
Yeah, I just saw it.
They did confirm it. Bret Hart. And that may have already dropped. We're actually recording this about a week ahead of time just because we kind of want to get this in, because obviously 316 Day is a big deal, and Austin is actually going to be on Raw. So what are your thoughts? Because Steve Austin kind of left... unceremoniously, you know, didn't have a whole lot of fanfare behind his final match, or what we know as probably his final match against The Rock at WrestleMania
19.
Was it 19? Okay, yes.
And then he was at 20.
Yeah, he's obviously come back and has appeared and done things WrestleMania related. I know he had that brief little series with Eric Bischoff, but those weren't really matches. And I know a lot of, you know, you want to remember that match with The Rock, but what are your thoughts of him coming back, if it were possible? You know, because a lot of times we, especially in this era of WWE with the Saudi Arabia shows, they pay a lot of money. We've seen Shawn Michaels return to the ring, which a lot of people thought would never happen. Goldberg has won the Universal Championship over there. You know, we've seen all of these guys that we never really thought we'd see back in the ring, And now the buzz is that Austin may be interested in getting back in and maybe has that, quote, one more match left in him.
Well, I'll start by saying I don't ever want to see him back in the ring if he's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were saying towards, you know, the end of it, I know Edge is back, but,
right,
you know, I would hate to see him, something terrible happen. But you almost have to say Goldberg, don't you? I mean, that was the match everybody always wanted to see, you know, mm-hmm. WCW, WWE. I know it's just like Sting and Undertaker at this
right.
point. Like, who wants to watch that? But I think it would be kind of cool. But if it was going to be a current main roster guy, I'd like to see him in there with Kevin Owens.
And we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, and Kevin Owens was a name that I did not consider until you mentioned it. And he's patterned some of his stuff here lately after Stone Cold, and I think with Stone Cold's blessing, as a fan and as a fan of Stone Cold, does it bother you to see guys, you know, because obviously there's a lot in wrestling that gets borrowed or stolen or, you know, copied, whatever you want to say. Does it bother you to see a guy who was so popular, so hot, such a groundbreaker, trailblazer, if you will, as Stone Cold Steve Austin, probably definitely top three of the all-time names in wrestling. Does it bother you to see somebody like Kevin Owens, who is kind of, he's getting there, but he's still not, you know, I don't think anybody has really, we haven't seen a star like Austin or The Rock. John Cena would be arguable, but, you know, it's been 20 years and we haven't had that real big breakout guy. Cena, obviously, I put up there, but does it bother you to see somebody like Owens kind of borrowing from Stone Cold's playbook?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, Seth Rollins was using the pedigree and stuff mm-hmm. from Triple H. So I kind of, you know, take it to something like that where it's more of a homage than it is, you know, ripping somebody off. I mean, I hit a Stone Cold Stunner on B-Rad at the show before Stradiversary. So, I mean, he's one of my favorite. And it's more of a tribute to mm-hmm. the man than it is, you know, like ripping him off. Because as soon as you do it, every single person knows that it's the Stone Cold Stunner. It's not like you could change the name of it.
Yeah. So does it hurt in wrestling, do you think, you know, when you have these larger-than-life characters like Austin, Undertaker, The Rock, they've all come back, and Austin hasn't wrestled yet, but, you know, they've had their moment in the spotlight as superstars, but then they come back, and sometimes, you know, at the expense of the current roster, and sometimes you hear that argument, and you yourself as a young wrestler, you know, do you take exception with guys who are retired or close to being retired coming back and kind of going over, air quotes here, the younger talents?
I don't really care when you see like Goldberg beat The Fiend or whatever, because I get it. It's a money thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like you almost handcuff yourself as a company when you keep doing that, because, you know, if you keep using the guys you build and then putting over guys from the past because they make money, then there's going to be a day where you can't, you know, those guys who you keep bringing in from the past, that 70-year-old Goldberg can't come win the Universal title.
Right. If
you've never built anybody behind him. But I don't think that that's exactly the situation. I think that they're building a lot of guys, and I think that they try a lot of different things, and people don't give them credit. Like Shayna Baszler, everyone was mad she didn't win the Royal Rumble, mm-hmm. the Women's Royal Rumble, and then she won the Elimination Chamber the other night, and it was just a chorus of boos. So that shows how fickle the fans are and how quickly their mind changes. So I don't really buy into that theory of, you know, that they're taking away people's spots and stuff like that, because being in the ring with one of those guys is enough to elevate your career, in my opinion.
So you've started watching wrestling, I believe the last time we talked was around the Attitude Era, yep. when Austin yep. is kind of hitting that peak level. You know, does it, do you think, has, like, social media and everybody has an opinion, everybody has access now. We even see, you know, I'll humble brag for a moment here. When I bought this beer, I tweeted about it, and I obviously mentioned, you know, Steve Austin in the tweet, and he actually responded back and said, cheers. Obviously, I marked out over that, but do you feel like social media has... It's obviously changed the way we consume just about everything, and I feel like in a lot of ways it has made people more cynical. It's given people a bigger set of balls to kind of voice their opinions and say whatever they want to say. You know, I can't imagine if social media had been around from the advent of wrestling becoming hot in the 80s through the Attitude Era to now, how different, because I do think those opinions and those voices sometimes do shape what we see on the current product. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree that it definitely shapes people's opinion, because I think that there's a lot of people who have never had an original thought in their life. And mm-hmm. the only thing that they see is social media, and that's what they think. But man, could you imagine what Twitter would be like if during a Hulk Hogan championship run?
Right.
It changes everything, and so many people get to turn on people and say, oh, they're a bad wrestler or all this stuff just because Twitter says it.
Yeah.
But they probably never even paid attention to a match in their life. So I could see guys saying, you know, they're shoving Austin down our throats, you know, in 99 or something like that. Or, oh, you need to push The Rock when, you know, and stuff like that. And people get in this, you know, this internet wrestling community minority, because there wasn't an internet wrestling community at the time, because the internet was, you know...
Yeah.
Basically, you know, some letters on a screen.
Yeah.
There were still marks writing stuff then, so it's been since the beginning. I've decided to drink this out of a can like Stone Cold.
There you go. He would be proud. He would definitely be proud. You know, and that brings up another good point when it comes to, you know, the internet and wrestling fans and whatnot. I think a lot of it is attributed to – it's ironic to me because our attention spans have shortened. However, the programming has gotten longer. You know, we have 3-hour Raw every week. We have 2-hour SmackDown, 2 hours of NXT, 7 hours or 8 hours of WrestleMania. You know, in AEW, they're kind of developing and building the same kind of formatting and, you know, whatever your view of that is. But the point is there is a lot of wrestling to consume. And as a fan and as a worker yourself, and you just mentioned it, you know, about the podcast, you've been there, done that, kind of with, and I kind of fall into that same mindset, because, you know, I don't listen to the Austin podcast as often as I used to, but, you know, it's too much. You know, some have said that this is the greatest time to be a wrestling fan because there's so much out there, but is it too much? And, you know, how does someone consume it all? I don't know how anybody could watch every night that what is going on and being put out there.
There's no way that anybody is out here watching every single night of wrestling. I would challenge anybody who says that they do. I tried to watch AEW on Hulu Saturday morning because mm-hmm. I was just doing some laundry and stuff. I tried, and it was a struggle to get through the 2 hours of just the AEW show. Mm-hmm. And that's not a diss on AEW, but they run their shows, do their commercials, so it was just shoot 2 hours.
I mean, oh, wow. They didn't,
there's no, like, they Raw, I can usually watch Raw, you know, on Hulu because they'll cut out half of it, mm-hmm. you know, and you can go back. But I haven't watched a full Monday Night Raw since it was 2 hours, probably, or close to, or the 1,000th episode.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to sit down and watch that, especially I have a hectic schedule already, so it's pretty crazy to think that anybody watches all of SmackDown, all of NXT, all of Raw, you know, and then all the other stuff they're putting on the network constantly.
Yeah, it really, you know, because I was thinking back to when I was a kid and watching wrestling, you know, Saturday night's main event was such a big deal because we were typically just getting the weekly syndicated show of WWF Superstars, and then, you know, there were a handful of other territories that maybe have had television slots in the St. Louis market. And then you would get, you know, your Tuesday Night Titans or primetime wrestling. But that Saturday night's main event meant the world. I just don't think it would work today on broadcast TV because it's oversaturated. The market is oversaturated. There's so much to consume. And, you know, you feel like you have to, you know, pick and choose. And I actually think also being involved with the business on the end that we kind of are, you know, we are getting – that inside look too. So sometimes it's like, okay, I just want to decompress and not watch wrestling or not be wrestling 24/7.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so I'll be at WrestleMania this year, and I will be.
That's right.
I will more than likely, the tickets aren't bought yet. The day before, be at Takeover.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, so I'll show up Friday. I'll go to Takeover Saturday. I'll go to Access Sunday morning, Mania Sunday night, and then the Raw after Mania the next night.
Oh,
so
wow.
Within a 3-day period, I'll be at 3 shows.
Yeah.
And you, to think I won't want to see any more wrestling after that, probably. I probably won't be tuning into SmackDown when I land from my flight that week.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of professional wrestling, even there in that 1 3-day week. Think about it. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Absolutely.
And then Monday, that's WWE owns that 4-day block. So how many people do you think have the attention span to care and to watch all of what's going on for those 4 hours, for those 4 days?
That's a great point, too, because WrestleMania weekend is, if you've ever been, it is such a, you know, it is all-consuming because I remember the year that we went to WrestleMania in New Jersey. I believe it was 29. I went with Chad, and then we had a couple of other friends of ours that joined us for that trip. And we went to a show Friday night. It was an ROH show. Saturday, we went to a show. This was before NXT was a – no, actually, NXT was a thing, but I don't think they were doing takeover shows yet.
Probably not.
We went to a Chikara and a Shimmer show, like, during the day. Then Saturday night was the Hall of Fame. Sunday was WrestleMania. Squeezed Access in there, too, along the way. And then Monday was the Raw after WrestleMania, which is a fun environment. You will enjoy, because you've not been to Mania before,
nope.
Have you? Okay, never. So this is going to be great for you, and I hope you have a blast. But, yeah, it is that overdrive of everything kind of, you know, trying to consume and take it all in and enjoying it and being in that moment and living it. So I'm happy that you are getting to go. Let's pivot back to Stone Cold and someone else that we had talked about a little earlier before we started recording is CM Punk. He is another guy who's kind of been an enigma of sorts and is not wrestling and not really saying much, but he's working for Fox doing the Backstage. Is that the name of the show that they do on Tuesday nights? Or
yeah, Backstage.
So he's a part of that. He's obviously talking about WWE. He's on technically a WWE-supported show. Where are you on CM Punk? Would you like to see him in the ring again? And then there was speculation and buzz that Austin and Punk, this was a handful of years ago. I think Punk was actually still in WWE at the time. Where are you on Punk versus Austin?
I would love to see it. CM Punk's one of my favorite wrestlers. I know a lot of people don't like him, and I really didn't appreciate him during his WWE title run. I hated him, but I liked him when he was, you know, first got into ECW and Straight Edge Society and stuff like that. He started to wear on me towards the end, but now I just really would like to see him come back to professional wrestling because, I mean, he's one of the guys who, you know, really embodies professional wrestling and he represents professional wrestling, but I remember they cut the promo together against each other. It's on YouTube, and I think it was for the game because they built the whole then versus now for SmackDown.
Yeah, I remember that.
11 maybe or 12, and they cut a promo against each other. And even when the pipe bomb was cut, he's wearing a what shirt. You know, he's wearing a Stone Cold what shirt. So I think he wanted it also. I think he's not dumb, though. He realizes that would be money.
Right.
So, I think that would be awesome. I think that would be, you know, bigger than Saudi Arabia, even though they're paying them billions and billions of dollars. Yeah.
So when it comes right down to Austin getting back into the ring for one more match, or even if it's a series, whatever the case may be, would you be interested in that, or would you look at it as it's another old guy coming back and looking for a payday? You know, where are you on that? Because I know you hold Austin in pretty high regard.
It's definitely not some old guy coming back for a payday. Mm-hmm. I think it would be great. I could just imagine it right now that they could do Rock Austin 4 in Saudi Arabia, you know, at the end of the year, and everybody would be so hyped about it. And I'm sure that those two guys would figure out a way to tell a story like no one else could, because that's just who they are. You know, that's kind of what separates today's generation wrestler from that generation wrestlers, because those guys, you know, they got it and then they kind of, you know, blazed all these trails that we're, you know, walking through now. So I think that would be an amazing opportunity. But knowing WWE, they'd probably make it something terrible, like Titus O'Neil versus, you know, Stone Cold or something.
You know, and I think it was WrestleMania 18. I personally, and I love The Rock, and I go back and forth between Austin and The Rock as far as is who I like more. You know, I guess it depends on the day of the week that you ask me. And as much as that Rock Hogan match from, I think it was 18, as influential as it was and as many people as it inspired and whatnot, I still think Austin versus The Rock, it's the beer 6.7. talking here. Yeah, it's 6.7. Austin versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 18, I would have preferred over Hogan versus The Rock. I feel like Austin kind of got the screw job that year, and not that there's anything wrong with Scott Hall, but just the way that everything was kind of building up that year, it was the middle of the card, the match with Hall and Austin. I just feel like Hogan Austin was the money match that everybody was craving and wanting, and I just can't understand why WWE didn't go in that direction.
They probably went in that direction because they saw Rock as a guy who was going to be there for another 20 years, and mm-hmm. Austin was a guy who was decrepit and disgruntled and probably wasn't going to be around for a long time. That's what I would say, but it would definitely have been a lot cooler to see Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold stand across the ring from each other and have that match. But I don't know if they would have had as amazing of a match as The Rock did, just because The Rock, you know, The Rock gets it. And The Rock is more Hulk Hogan than Stone Cold is Hulk Hogan.
Right.
You know, I get that. They meld a lot better. They gel a lot better. I think that the match makes more sense to be Hollywood Hogan and The Rock than it does with Stone Cold. But, I mean, we still never got the Goldberg match.
That's true.
That's what we wanted.
That's true. There has been a lot of speculation and a lot of buzz through the years, you know, especially because they were, you know, I'm assuming you're more of an Austin guy than
definitely
a Goldberg guy.
I hate WCW.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp as you on that. And I did view Goldberg, I don't want to say as a ripoff, but, you know, black tights, bald head, goatee. Very similar in Austin. Austin didn't even talk.
Didn't talk, and he was boring, and who cared? He's just some guy just running through guys. That's not cool. Austin, you know, Austin represented something. Austin represented, you know, the working man. And he represented every single person who just wanted to look people in the face, you know, and tell them, screw you.
Yeah.
I'm doing my thing. And he, you know, he got his pink slip from WCW, and you know he did all this, you know, he made himself, and he deserves to be exactly where he was. And I think that his character was, you know, represented from the life that he lived. So they're not even comparable in the scheme of wrestlers, or you know, in the scheme of the, you know, Mount Rushmore or the top 10, top 20. They're not even in the same ballpark. I mean, Goldberg was great because he was booked to be great.
Right.
Stone Cold was great because he had every intangible that you could ever have.
And this will be kind of the last talking point here as we wrap things up, but do you feel like with Austin, you know, today's wrestler, obviously, and there's a lot of talk and buzz that, you know, everything is scripted. Wrestlers are, you know, they're trying to manufacture and tell us who to cheer for, whether it's Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins or whoever the case may be. Austin was kind of that organic guy who was mid-card. You know, Triple H was suspended or, you know, was in the doghouse at the time of the King of the Ring 1996. Austin gets the opportunity and literally takes the ball and runs with it. And I know a lot of times you hear everybody saying, oh, you know, you got to grab that brass ring. I feel like there are guys who have grabbed for it, and you know, it's not part of what they want, and by they I mean, you know, the corporate machine. How does that work? You know, do you feel like more guys need to grab that opportunity, or because I do feel like even today everything is so manufactured and scripted, do we need to go back to the days of letting it be a little more free reign and you know, could Austin have cut that Austin 316 promo in 2020?
He couldn't have, because everyone would be worried about the religious, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. Twitter. But I'll give you two examples of guys who clearly got over on their own and WWE stopped it, which shows you that, you know, WWE wants their guys to get over to an extent. I mean, WWE's going to make money when they can, but Rusev Day was extremely over, and they could have strapped the Rocket to it, and they could have put him. And Zack Ryder, when he was doing all the internet stuff and the Long Island IC and the internet championship, that's another guy right there. Those two guys were both, they got themselves over, they worked hard, they came up with their own thing, and there was a sense of, you know, WWE probably didn't like that they would, you know, and WWE didn't want them to be the guy. But WWE used them correctly because, I don't know, you got to imagine what a 70-year-old man who's been seeing wrestling his entire life sees every single person. He probably makes pretty snap judgments on people, which probably isn't always correct. But, yeah, I don't think Austin would have been the man he was just with PC culture and everything, you know. But he probably would still be over, and he would – I mean, you saw it on the, what was it, the Raw that he was on not long ago where he came out. And it was insane. It was it was the best, and it was probably the best moment in Raw they've had in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because he was on.
And we're looking forward again, obviously, as you're listening to this, hopefully on 316. It is Austin's return to Monday Night Raw, 316 day. Let's review this beer one last time. Is it an oh hell yeah from you, or what are you giving this?
It's definitely an oh hell yeah. This is probably my top five favorite beers right here. I wish that it was available in our area.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an hour's drive. It is worth it, in my view. You know.
Do you know if they're going to still stock it?
Yes, yes. So it will be a thing. They had several four packs, if you will, and when I talked to the clerks there, they were excited that it is here because people have been asking for it. So, again, if you are in Southern Illinois listening to this, Paducah, Kentucky is an hour's drive or so from the Carterville area where Stride Pro Wrestling is based as well. So we thank you for tuning in. Red Daniels, my guest, thank you so much for joining me for another round of Wrestling Under the Influence. I am hoping, I have my fingers crossed for next month because Wrestling Under the Influence falls on 420. You can guess who I'm going after. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. But thanks so much for being a part of my 123 Cents, the podcast. We will chat again next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.